Everyone troops through the hidden passage, which immediately begins to descend down. It's dark in here, but it's been dark everywhere, and in fact, it can probably be said that these people, like, on the whole, must save a lot of money on candles and streetlights and things like that. They can just dig a tunnel, and they don't have to light it or anything. But they also haven't cleaned it very much. It's dusty, and smells dusty. When you reach the bottom of the stairs, Madame McGoffle stops. The hallways go in different directions, and she says, "Okay, where are we going?"
"We need to head towards the direction of the mines, the slave mines."
"The slave mines?"
"Yes, we need to get you to a safe house outside of the city."
"So I assume that the threat isn't some kind of slave rebellion. Why are we leaving the city?"
"Well, ma'am, spies from the surface have infiltrated the castle, and they've already killed 3 important members of the royal, upper classes."
"3? Who'd they kill?" Your dad goes, "Malgiria, Valentina, and Horison." She says, "Oh, no, not Horison. I play tennis with her."
"It's a tremendous loss for all of us, madam. But we are going to use body doubles to try to bait the spies out and catch them in the act, which is why we have to remove you from the premises under secrecy."
"What, you think I might be a target?"
"Well, naturally, we're not taking any chances. So, if you could, go ahead and lead us to the slave pits."
Why am I leading? Aren't you one of the royal guard?"
"No, I'm one of the cadets, ma'am. This has all happened very rapidly. I haven't been fully briefed on the
Oh, so I'm important enough to get protected, but not important enough to have a real royal guard escort. I see. We know Aloria's going to hear about this."
"They said they'd send some real guard later."
"Yes, they'll send more guards. It just, we have to get you out of here now, fast."
She goes, and she reaches into like a utility pocket on her travel thong, and she pulls out a little map. She opens it up and then tries to hold it out. She squints at it. She's like, "That's so hard to read, this tiny little thing. What direction from here are the slave pits?"
Yes. You human, here, help me hold this map." And I'm going to open the map up facing Elvis so he can read it.
"Oh, yep. Okay, looks like it's ethereal east and below the main city."
"They didn't have time to get a genuine royal guard, but you had time to get maps and a compass?"
"Well, of course, these come straight from the armory, ma'am. They just shoved them into my hands and sent me on my way."
"The royal guard is falling apart. This organization is in shambles. You know, I saw on the day when that big lizard man tried to bite Aloria, it wasn't one of the royal guard that saved her, was it? It was some guard from outside. That's how you know you're slipping downhill."
"Madame McGoffle, could we please see the map of the hidden passages?"
"Yeah, fine. I can barely make heads or tails of it." And she hands it to you, and it's understandable she could barely read it. It's about the size of a napkin, but it looks like some kind of circuit board. There's lines drawn everywhere, and Elvis, as you examine this map, you can see that the reason it's so complicated is because it's trying to map an area about the size of the city itself. These are all different tunnels that lead to different safe houses in the city, some of which do leave the city, including one or two that go towards the mines. It's not very good about telling you how far things are or what elevation they're at. It just kind of has, like, color-coded lines that say you can follow this path to here. Obviously, this is meant for someone like Madame McGoffle to read in an emergency.
"Okay, so it looks like if we just follow line 7A, we'll get to the mines." "Well,
but we have to get off at line 6D.
"No, that'll take us up north."
"Yeah, but see, like, there's a break here on that one, and then see if you look at 6D.
"Oh, yeah, there's an arrow pointing. It looks like it only goes one way. How's it only go one way? Isn't it a footpath?"
"Well, I hope it's not a footpath. You know how long it is from here to the mines?"
"Well, that's okay. We'll figure it out when we get there. It looks like it's all on the way."
Well, you do figure it out pretty soon. Once you walk for a while, eventually you come to a small cart rail line. Imagine something like a Disney park ride. Each cart has 2 rows of seats, and the seats could fit about 3 people each. They're chained together like a train, and then they go downhill when the person in front unloads the brake. These downhill lines go to a variety of different places, and you have to make sure that you stop and switch the tracks at the right time. Then there's uphill lines that are built along flowing water. At the top of the hills, there's a water wheel, which will just pull the train uphill. The uphill rides are a little intense. There's a lot of squeaking and grinding. These things must be maintained, but how often, you couldn't say. They could use a little bit of oil. All that money they must save on lighting and candles probably goes to this type of thing. It takes some time and a fair amount of grumbling from Madame McGoffle, but finally, you guys find yourselves in a safe house near the mines. The wall opens up, and there you are in kind of like a little summer home. It's made out of stone, looks actually pretty defensible if it had to be. It's perched up on a hill, built into the wall.
"Well, here we are, all safe and sound. I suppose that myself and maybe some of our traveling party should go out and have a look, make sure the whole area is secure.
Yes, and go get something to eat while we're at it. There should be a safe around here with a bit of emergency money in it.
Right, certainly. You look for that safe. I think I'll take the human and this cat man. And how about Darius? And we'll go and make sure everything's in order.
You're taking Pretty Kitty and the human?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them doing a lot of good around here, except for eating up the food and, you know, wasting everyone's time.
Pretty Kitty is for entertainment. I could finally get that bath going.
Well, he'll be here when you get back. I mean, I need help to carry things.
Okay, fine. Well, take Malvis. Leave Pretty Kitty.
No.
Take Malvis.
No.
Yes, just take Malvis.
Malvis doesn't, I mean, he doesn't look that, you know, Pretty Kitty is going to be much stronger.
Are you serious? Malvis, show him your biceps. I permit you to bury your flesh. Show the biceps to the man. Malvis, sheepishly, as though he's been asked to take off his underwear in public, shows you his biceps. Apparently he's ripped.
I think I still feel more comfortable with Pretty Kitty.
Why do you want Pretty Kitty so bad?
Because I feel kind of sorry for him. You know, he should go out and do things, see outside more.
You know what I think? I think that there is spy stuff going on. But I don't think that the spy is in the castle. I think that I'm looking at one of the spies right now.
No.
Yes!
Well, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, anything I say would just... I can neither confirm nor deny.
That's exactly what a spy would say!
Well, I mean, it's what any... Like, there's all kinds of secrets in the military and in the Royal Guard. So, I mean, if I start denying some things and then confirm other things and then refuse to elaborate on certain... Like, it would give the game away. I can't confirm nor deny that I'm a spy or that there's spy stuff ongoing, but I want Pretty Kitty.
That right there, that's exactly the type of thing. That's how spies think. You can't ever confirm or deny anything. You're going to sell Pretty Kitty, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to sell Pretty Kitty.
You're going to sell him for, that's what it is. He's worth a lot of money.
That would be like trying to sell the legendary sword Excalibur. How would you ever pass it off?
I don't know what an Excalibur is, but I can tell you, if you knew someone who was buying Excaliburs, who knew the true value of whatever an Excalibur was, you could sell it on the black market. Pretty Kitty has got to be the most expensive slave in the entire kingdom. You think I'm not wise to what's going on. We've come down to the heart of the slave trade, and you refuse to leave without Pretty Kitty. There can be only one thing you intend to do.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Fine. Well, if Eloria wants to play games with my favorite slave, I guess I have no choice but to go along with it. But I'm going to make my own conditions. I'm still in charge here. I am still nobility. So I say if you're going to go and sell Pretty Kitty, I want to be there. I know his worth. And I don't want to see him get sold for some rip-off price.
I need to emphasize that you are in grave danger. There have been 3 assassinations so far.
I have made love to this cat more times than probably any woman in the whole world at this point. No one is going to take him over my dead body without a fight. If you lay so much as a hand on him without my express permission, I will have your skin peeled off.
Look at my dad.
He shrugs. He goes, I didn't know she feels this way. Honestly, it doesn't feel like love.
Okay, everybody bring it in. Just give us a moment. We're gonna neither confirm nor deny something. Just give us a second.
Okay, I say we battle her to the death.
Elvis may not be wrong. If we kill her now, they probably won't find the bodies for weeks.
Also, it is the easiest solution with the fewest amount of thinking.
Why are you not thinking about the terror of watching someone die in your hands?
Because thinking about that makes me feel icky. I try not to think about that.
Your dad says, just so you know, she's actually a very powerful mage. I don't know how powerful, but pretty powerful.
Can you ballpark?
Yeah, Cherry's a mage too. We might have her beat there.
Okay, so you know how, like, knights, the whole reason they exist and have all their wealth is so that they don't have to work and they can focus just on getting better at jousting and stabbing people to death and leading armies? That's what she is, but a mage.
Well, that doesn't put us at a ballpark. That's just worrying.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't know how strong she is. She's a mage. And she's old and batty, but that doesn't mean that she's less magically potent.
You know what? She seems very argumentative, and you know whose argumentative ability disables magic.
Cherry says, I do not like any plan that relies on the consistent behavioral patterns of Lowry.
Yeah, she complains a lot, he complains a lot. What if they agree?
Look, I'm just saying, if we're worried about what a powerful maid she is, if we go get Lowry, boom, that's solved.
She could, and this is risky, but if we take her with us, She could possibly also serve as a hostage if things go very badly.
Yeah, assuming she doesn't just magic our heads to explode.
But that's why we get Lowry.
Who might think that we should get our heads exploded?
He's never argued that we should die. He has argued that magic doesn't exist, and he's been very firm on that. I think that he would come down on our side.
But Elvis, we're so close to being in a situation where we really don't need to rescue...
Pa.
Lowry.
Pa, we should rescue Lowry either way. I mean, it's the right thing to do.
But I mean, like, he wouldn't rescue us. He would tell us that it's...
Yeah, that it's some kind of learning experience or something. And in a way, he would be right. But then it would be up to us to get out of it. Look at how much stronger we are thanks to everything he's done.
You know, I just want to point out that if I quit information brokerage and never worked with Lowry, I'd probably be in a stronger position as a merchant investing in trade than I would be here.
Yeah, that's true, Cherry. But I think that he also told you that you should quit all the stuff that you're doing. So kind of
like... He's not right. The whole reason I should have gone into trade is because he made my job more volatile.
Well, right or wrong, he can neutralize Madame McGoffle, which means that if we get Lowry, we can escape Madame McGoffle.
So we're going to bring her with us.
We're going to bring her at least as far as Lowry.
Maybe after the two of them meet, she'll choose to leave on her own accord.
Okay. All right, Madame McGoffle, we agree that you may accompany us on our mission that we can neither confirm nor deny might have certain spy-like qualities. However, your servants need to remain here at the safe house.
Fine. Pretty Kitty will be my servant. One of Madame McGoffle's servants says, Oh, but madam, I don't think that you should... Shut up! I don't need you! Here, let me just find this safe. I'll open it for you. Take it and use it to buy food and whatever you need. If I don't return within 5 sands, then alert the local guard. We will be back within 5 sands, won't we?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
She flicks her hand dismissively, and she says, Lead on.
Yes, of course, madam. One more second. Okay, group huddle.
Cherry says, What now?
What are we gonna do when we get to the slave pits?
You guys didn't think this through?
I was imagining a daring, swashbuckling slave revolt.
I was thinking I might walk up there and just say, I'm here from Eloria, and I want the slaves.
And what if that doesn't work?
Swashbuckling.
So we're just going to kill our way out.
Well, apparently it's easier to fight your way out of the city than in, so this is better. How come you didn't say anything?
I thought we'd be killed by now. But okay, we've made it this far on blind luck and bluffing. Maybe we can go a little further.
Okay, come with us, madam. And we start walking towards the slave pits.
McGoffle follows you. Cherry pushes along her tray full of treats. Which, by the way, is not great for travel. It was fine in the castle, and even fine during the escape route, but out on the streets, and places where it's not paved, it's rough going.
Maybe when we get to the slave pits, we can ask for a knapsack.
When you get to the slave pits, you can actually see Lowry and Rachel working down below. Rachel doesn't have to wear robes, so you can see she's the only catwoman in the entire pit, and they didn't make Lowry put on robes either, because any time they tried to figure out his gender, he gave them the runaround, and... He's kind of confusing because he's a lizard, so they assumed he might be female.
Okay, we approach a guard. Excuse me, sir, we need to speak to someone in charge.
The guard kind of looks you up and down. I mean, you're clearly accompanied by royalty, and these are servants. It's weird, but he goes, yes, come right this way. And he takes you to the main office. He lets you inside, and there the warden is doing paperwork. Who should I announce is here? Asks the guard.
Madame McGoffle, but we're here on business from Eloria.
The guard announces, Madame McGoffle and entourage here on business for Queen Eloria. The warden gets up and she goes, Oh, Madame McGoffle. She bows. To what do I owe this distinct pleasure? Madame McGoffle looks at you, Paul, and waves her hand dismissively. She says, Explain the details, soldier.
We've come to collect 2 slaves. The catwoman known as Rachel.
Uh-huh, go on.
And the lizard man known as Lowry.
Wait, he's a lizard man? A man? He's been in the nude this entire time.
Yes, he is a male.
Well, oh my Centipora. It's lucky the female slaves didn't realize what they had in their pen, or otherwise who knows what kind of debauchery they would have gotten up to.
Am I led to believe that he was never properly robed?
Well, we weren't given express knowledge of that fact. Believe me, Madame McGoffle, if we knew, we would have robed him immediately. Madame McGoffle says, Oh, don't worry. I've got my own foibles and proclivities, as any woman does. But if the girls didn't know the difference, then they didn't know the difference. The warden says, Well, I'll have him robed immediately and then dispensed into your hands. All right, Lowry. Down in the pits, 2 guards approach you, and they say, Rachel, Lowry, come along.
But I'm still breaking up this rock. Do you see how big it is?
Well, you're done with that. We've been ordered to collect you. Put your stuff down. Come on.
Well, someone else is going to have to break this rock up into small... Okay, fine. You guys are just wasting all of my day.
They bring you guys up to the warden's office. Rachel is clearly nervous on the way, and when she comes through the door and sees Khan, she goes, "Oh." And then they both just stare at each other awkwardly. Madame McGoffel puts her hand on Lowry's shoulder, and she says, "Well, this is Lowry. He's certainly got muscles like a male. You didn't think he was a male?" And the warden says, "Well, if you'd look, Madame McGoffel, you'd see that the undercarriage is not the expected equipment." And then Lowry, this old woman, quite brazenly goes to check your undercarriage with her hand.
"Ooh, okay, that tickles. Please, personal space."
"Well, that is fascinating. Laurie has been keeping such a clever little secret." The warden says, "Madame McGoffel, it is worth remembering that this lizard attempted to bite Aloria in the face, and he should not be trusted." Madame McGoffel says, "Oh, right, yes, and she takes a few nervous steps away. The warden says, "Well, there we are. Did you have any specific requirements for their travel?"
"Yes. Could you remove their manacles?"
"Remove their Rachel can be trusted, but this lizard should be apprehended at all times. With all due respect, I think even on the subject of Rachel, I don't know if I should use the word trust. She's been trained, yes, but she is a wild dog, and she could bite just as easily."
"I'm not here to argue. These are my orders."
"But as an expert in the proper handling of slaves, it is my responsibility to argue. That's a dangerous proposition. They shouldn't be unmanacled."
"The orders were specific. I wasn't given a reason. That's all I have to say."
This is a severe liability. "Well, I'm going to put a report that I notified you of the dangers. If anything happens, it's not on my head."
"Thank you for your cooperation."
The warden goes to fill out the paperwork, which is somewhat extensive, but eventually she finally unlocks the manacles from Lowry and Rachel. She says, "Madame McGoffel, please be careful. I cannot emphasize enough how risky this is." Madame McGoffel says, "You forget yourself. I may be an old woman, but I am well capable. I'll be fine." And with that, they let you leave. Rachel and Khan walk along with you, but a distance apart, and they avoid eye contact.
"So where are we going? I swore that I was going to be a good slave, and I vaguely can't remember why now, but I'm going to do it."
"A good slave is quiet."
"You know, they keep telling me that, and I strongly disagree."
"Boy, Lowry, you're lucky that we got you. They're probably going to smash your tongue with a rock or something for sure."
"Wait a minute, Elvis?" I lift up Elvis's face mask.
"Yeah, they said I had to wear this because otherwise all the ladies would be all, like, too excited. I don't know about what."
"Honestly, I couldn't tell you either."
"You know, in all fairness, this naked lizard man and all of his resplendent musculature asks a good question. What are we doing with these slaves? I thought I had it figured out, but now I'm just confused."